Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast. Doing a quick, I wouldn't say emergency episode, but a very quick update episode. I have been informed by a source very close to the negotiation that Willie Taggart will be informing his team of his decision to take the Florida State job, that everything has been finalized. But he will be informing his team at 1:30 Eastern time. So I have gone ahead and started recording this. This is it's about 11:30 right now, Eastern time. So I've gone ahead and started recording this now to get this out so that it'll release around the same time that he is in that meeting. It's something that I'd been told very early in the process that Taggart wanted very much, that it was a priority of his to make sure that he told his team before anything leaked out that anything was final. He did not want to happen to him what happened to Jimbo Fisher in terms of leaks. So, yeah, that's going to happen. And like I said, I've timed this episode to release right around the time that he should be in the meeting with his players. So Florida State has landed their top target, and they've done it in a pretty straightforward, pretty easy manner in terms of they identified a top target fairly early, and then basically were able to run a, for the most part, non-problematic search. You know, they avoided the FlightAware problem of you know, people being able to track flights and do all this stuff and keep that buzz largely headed off, despite lots of leaks in this social media era, by meeting in Arizona when he was on a recruiting trip. That, by the way, I should say, was done with the full knowledge in advance of his superiors at Oregon. Taggart has been above board from the very beginning with his, with the Oregon powers that be. And that includes Phil Knight from Nike, as I've talked about on this podcast before. When Florida State came to him, when it was becoming clearer that Jimbo Fisher was probably going to leave for Texas A&M, when they came to him, he went to Phil Knight pretty quickly. He went to Phil Knight Wednesday morning of last week to basically discuss. He discussed with Phil Knight, this is a dream job for me. I just want to make sure, you know, I'm not operating in a way that is below board here. I want to let you know what's going on. And, you know, obviously I've taken this job. And so on. He didn't want to do anything that obviously you don't want to make enemies of Phil Knight. And Phil Knight said, well, you know, I understand it's a dream job and I'm not going to stand in your way. And then, as I said before, Knight did say, we will not be outbid, that said. All that said, he has been above board throughout with his superiors. This was not a below the radar situation where he was sneaking out on his employers to try to get another job. This was not a Lane Kiffin at Tennessee situation. This was not not even a Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M situation. This was something where he was very honest, even with his players on Friday of last week, telling them that this was his dream job. And one person very close to the Oregon program was saying that it was actually difficult to get the players out to practice because they took that so badly. And so, you know, he was actually honest to a fault throughout this process, and you have to respect that from Willie Taggart. But in any case, Florida State is getting a guy who grew up a major Florida State fan. I mean, his family is has always been diehard Seminoles. This is truly his dream job. He has always had his eye on hope on you know, wishfully thinking about getting this job. This is a destination job without question for Willie Taggart. This is someone who immediately upon taking this job will change the recruiting dynamic in the state of Florida, which is important. You've got Mark Richt at Miami, who's doing very well in recruiting. You have Dan Mullen, who is also, you know, carries a lot of clout at Florida now. You know, you're not recruiting against Jim McElwain, although that staff is not perhaps as good a recruiting staff as Mullen could have put together. But Taggart is immediately going to be able to pull players from wherever he wants in the state. He's going to be the top recruiter of the three coaches at the Big Three in the state of Florida. And the you know, more details on the on who he's bringing with him and who is who he's going to hire as assistant coaches will obviously be forthcoming. Numerous sources have suggested behind the scenes that that Ron Dugans will be the wide receiver coach at Florida State under Willie Taggart, and that will happen relatively quickly. Again, I can't confirm that. I've not talked to Ron Dugans myself, but numerous sources who have knowledge of this whole thing have said that that's the plan. He's going to bring a couple of his own coaches with him. I expect him to bring Pimpleton, who is currently serving as his running backs coach and recruits the state of Florida for Oregon. I expect him to bring Woody, their outside linebackers coach, who is a very, very good coach and recruiter. I would not be surprised, partly because of the relationship between Woody and Corey Raymond, if Corey Raymond from LSU winds up listening seriously to an offer to join that staff as well. Again, that's a little bit of speculation on my part. There's been a little bit of rumblings about that behind the scenes, but nothing solid. So that's, again, I try to make a distinction between where I'm speculating and where I have airtight information, and that one's one. But either way, the staff overall, the things I have heard about who Taggart is going to bring in, of course, he will be retaining Odell Higgins. You know, nobody who has grown up idolizing Florida State is going to get rid of Odell Higgins, who's one of the best defensive tackles coaches, defensive line coaches in the country, and certainly a great recruiter. And you can't have a better ambassador for Florida State University football than Odell Higgins. And of course, Willie Taggart is going to be a tremendous ambassador in that regard. I've heard so many good things about him behind the scenes. Those of you who listen to this podcast know that he was not my first choice in terms of names that I would have pursued. I would have gone after Jeff Brohm first because of my preference for Brohm's offensive system. I think it's one of the best offensive systems in the country. That said, given the staff that it appears Willie Taggart will be bringing with him and the ability to bring in not only excellent, I mean, I'm talking about there are going to be four or five guys on this Willie Taggart staff that are Brewster level recruiters or better. And that's, you know, that's going to be unbelievable. I think the finish to the 2018 class for Florida State could be really epic. You know, I expect Warren Thompson, the top receiver in the state of Florida, to flip to Florida State from Oregon pretty quickly. And there will be a couple others that I think will most likely make that switch. But like I said, he's not only bringing in a staff that can really recruit, but he's bringing in some very, very good coaches as well. Given the quality of the staff, I think my initial thought on go after Jeff Brohm first is probably wrong. You know, I was probably wrong there in terms of once you consider not just the head coach, but the staff that head coach can bring. I don't think Brohm could have brought together the people that Willie Taggart is going to bring to Florida State. Again, Taggart, this is a dream job for him, having grown up a Seminole, which does matter in terms of cultural fit for a program and in terms of a program that is a destination job but doesn't have the deep pockets of some of the others. Taggart, I think, will be one of those who is going to get things done. He's going to push for facilities. This is something that was part of the negotiation process. He's going to push for facilities. He's going to push for more resources all the time, but he's very good in fundraising, and he's better in terms of political relationships than Jimbo Fisher ever was. That's for certain. That's something that listeners here know that, listen, I love Jimbo. I don't have a whole lot bad to say about Jimbo. Never really have. Jimbo's always been great to me. Again, I also am fair. And again, I've been very clear in the past that Jimbo, in terms of behind the scenes and all of this at times was much more difficult to deal with. And Taggart Taggart's going to be demanding, but his style on all this is very different. And that I think will be a breath of fresh air to a lot of people in Tallahassee. So a lot to be excited about here. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 days of recruiting. I know for a fact, I couldn't know more factually in this case, that the Oregon staff was already, those who would be joining Taggart from the Oregon staff were already evaluating the Florida State roster and what they needed to do in terms of recruiting and all of that. As of last, I believe it was last Wednesday. I can't remember actually on that, but it was mid to late week last week before Jimbo Fisher stepped down. Might have been Thursday. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know that they were already working on evaluating roster, doing their due diligence on what Florida State has coming back, how that fits into what they do, and then working towards what they need to do in terms of recruiting, what kids, you know, they already had committed to Florida State, and that of course included people who had previously been committed and decommitted when Fisher stepped down. Like I said, they are ready to hit the ground running. They have a good sense already for what personnel is there. And one of the interesting things here is how well this personnel fits what they want to do. So that's something that, again, people may not be aware of. And this is something we'll break down. This is really fun for people like me who actually cover this stuff, because after a while, you know, I've already talked about what Jimbo does. I've already talked about, you know, I know Jimbo's system really well. I've tried to explain a lot of things and clarify a lot of things of the way that Jimbo goes about things, the way that, you know, they tried to call their offense and defense and what they did in terms of program and all that. This is an opportunity to actually do new stuff for this podcast and to really break down more schematic stuff that's newer that we haven't seen at Florida State in the same way, you know, different approaches and be able to both learn that from this staff and from what they prefer, and also help explain that to the listener base. That makes this a lot more fun. Certainly more fun when they start winning as well. A couple other things in terms of Taggart's reputation and how he expects to come into Florida State. In the past, when he has taken over programs, he has been very much a disciplinarian and a my way or the highway change agent, where if players are not willing to get with the program, he's happy to go ahead and let them move along. And this is very important. I was talking with a couple other former players in the program not that long ago about how needed that was for Florida State, where things have been of late in the program, where, you know, a lot of guys, and I talked about this early in the season on this podcast, that Jimbo had a reputation among a lot of fans as a tyrant and someone who, you know, didn't let players have fun and all that. But the reality is that a lot of the problems culturally on this team came from Jimbo letting guys get away with stuff and trying to be too player friendly, basically trying to give the players what they wanted on a lot of things. And that's actually, you hear about discussions, and we'll talk about this on a future podcast. Again, this one's got to be quick. But that's one of the things that makes it difficult to sustain at a program, is it's easier to come in as a change agent and really be demanding and really be a tyrant to the guys that you didn't recruit, that you don't have commitments to, and to force them into bend to your will and bend to your mold. But then when you get on the recruiting trail and you make promises to guys, you make promises to their parents, and you have commitments to them, and things are a little bit different. These are your people, your guys. It's much harder to keep that kind of putting the screws to guys in the way that you would to the guys that you didn't recruit, to guys that, you know, hey, we're going to get this turned around. It's much harder to sustain that. And that's something that coaches have to continue to do. And again, Fisher, after his fourth, fifth year in the program, when everybody was his in the program, you could see that some of that stuff, and it started in 2014, although they were hard on that group at the beginning of the year, but they still let him get away with stuff. You know, yelling and screaming at a guy doesn't actually change behavior. The reality is that there were times where assistant coaches would go to bench guys because of disciplinary issues and so on, and Jimbo would overrule the benching. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that needed to change within the program. We talked about that again, a little bit more indirectly on this podcast previously, talking about letting, you know, trying to make sure that players got players were happy, and that being too much of an emphasis in this program. Well, that's not going to be the case under Willie Taggart. There are going to be some players who are going to have a bit of a rude awakening right away, because you skip a meeting, you're late to a meeting, you don't, you know, do what you don't handle things the way that you're supposed to in off-season workouts or whatever, and you're going to pay the price with the way that Willie Taggart's going to run this program when he comes in. So that's another aspect of his mentality. Now, as far as what they do schematically, and again, that was a bit of a digression there, but what they do schematically, it fits so incredibly well with what Florida State has on its roster that I'm excited to see what's going to happen, because defensively, Taggart prefers that multiple sort of 3-4, 3-3, 4-2-5 flexible approach, which is what he ran at Oregon. He did a lot with that at South Florida. And you're going to see the personnel at Florida State has been recruited specifically to run that defense, although they didn't run it all that well relative to the personnel they have on the roster. The roster is there to do exactly what he wants. Exactly the kinds of linebackers that they need to have, exactly the kind of, especially defensive linemen, to be able to two gap the center, which they do, which is a preference of his, to be able to have flexible big ends that can slide inside to the three or slide outside to the five, big ends or, you know, quicker defensive tackles, to have guys that can do a lot in terms of versatility up front. They have that. They've got length, which again, Taggart is going to want. So defensively, this is a perfect fit with what he wants to do philosophically. So, and what he's shown in the past. So that's a very good thing. That means that any sort of adjustment period should be minimal. That also means that in terms of what these kids have to learn in terms of defensive stuff, it doesn't even matter who they hire as a coordinator. If he continues to want to run basically the stuff that is in his wheelhouse, the type of thing that he prefers, yeah, there will be some terminological changes and some technique stuff that needs to be cleaned up. But by and large, they'll be running stuff that is exactly what these kids were recruited to play. So that's a very positive thing in terms of how quickly you can turn things around from a 6-6 season. Offensively, it's also not nearly as much of a change as a lot of people expect. You know, people have watched Oregon and they're much more spread, you know, typical stereotypical up-tempo spread stuff is how it's regarded. Also did a lot out of the spread with Quentin Flowers at South Florida, but it's not actually this is not someone who came out of the air raid system or a true spread option type roots. You know, this is not Larry Fedora or Mike Gundy type stuff where you have spread option roots there or air raid roots or a mixture of them where you're taking an option attack and just putting it in the shotgun, you know, which is, you know, some of what Urban Meyer and those people do. It's also not especially RPO heavy. He didn't run a whole lot more RPOs than Jimbo Fisher did. And in fact, in some games, I think Fisher probably called more RPOs than Taggart will in a typical game. And I should mention that Taggart has typically served. He's typically called his own plays. He's an offensive guy. He's typically called his own plays. That's where he came up. And so I expect him to do a lot of that still at Florida State. Although I was told he has not decided yet whether he will hire an offensive coordinator or whether he will, handle that more entirely himself. Either way, it'll be, you know, the coordination will be a team effort to some degree, but I expect him to probably call the plays, which is, again, that's a positive. That's always been a positive in my view. You want to have a head coach who's more hands-on in a lot of regards. And, that allows there to be a lot of consistency and continuity in your system. If you bring in, a hotshot offensive coordinator, and then that guy gets hired in a year or two, and then you have to bring in the next one, there's a new learning curve for everybody in the program. So that makes it more difficult. But when you have a guy that has his offense, that even if he does hire a coordinator to run things, it's going to be his offense that helps maintain that continuity. But anyway, Taggart's background, he was coached under Jack Harbaugh at Western Kentucky. That's where he played. And then he coached himself under Jack Harbaugh, and then coached with Jim Harbaugh on the offensive side of the ball at Stanford. That is very much where his roots are. That's the sort of thing that he more naturally inclines toward that kind of thing. And again, the personnel at Florida State and even the approach of how these guys were coached offensively is very similar. A lot of similarities to the Harbaugh approach. And so that's where that's going to go at South Florida because of personnel. He needed to adjust because he couldn't just line up and play Harbaugh ball like they did at Stanford. And also like he had done at Western Kentucky. So he spread it out, put him in the shotgun, and added some other stuff to that offense. But again, the base of it is still really built off of that Harbaugh framework. And that's where things are going to go. And one of the things that he really had looked to do, he was, you know, when he got to Oregon, they had no tight ends and that he couldn't recruit the tight ends that the type of tight end that he wanted at South Florida. So he basically went without that. But this is a guy that would love to have that kind of versatile tight end that he can move around and flex around and go two tights and do a lot of that stuff. The sort of thing that you see Jim Harbaugh doing when he has that personnel. Some of the Stanford stuff that you see, he's very much willing and able and looking forward to do that. He had the top JUCO tight end in the country committed to Oregon, so I'm told, and that kid is going to flip to Florida State with him. And they recruited Trey McKitty very hard, current tight end at Florida State. This is going to serve very, very well for what Willie Taggart wants to do offensively. He's got the personnel to run what he wants to run. Offense in terms of offensive line, again, the kind of guys that were recruited are the kind of guys that he's going to want. One difference between Taggart and Jimbo is Jimbo was always going to default a little bit more to the passing game in terms of you know, which he'd call a little bit more on, say, first down. Taggart is going to be a little bit more of an emphasis, sort of, again, like a Harbaugh, where the emphasis is going to be on being a physical running team first and foremost, and everything else builds out of that. He has, since he's done more spread stuff, incorporated more jet sweep and that sort of thing into that, and he'll retain that. Again, FSU has great personnel to do that. But he's going to run a lot of inside zone and a lot of power, trying to bludgeon teams inside and use a very physical offensive line to knock people off the ball. That's a big part of his philosophy in places he's been previously, and I expect that to be something that he really emphasizes at Florida State. I don't yet know who he's going to bring in as his offensive line coach. It could be Mario Cristobal, but I've been told not to expect that's less likely than it is. That's more unlikely than it is likely, due to several factors. But that said, he just needs to make sure he brings in a technique heavy offensive line coach. Trickett was always a good offensive line coach, but he was always a little bit more of a, you know, learn the steps, learn the assignment and give great effort coach. They need to build off of that with the next guy being a very heavy technical guy. If they can get somebody that can teach technique to the current roster on the offensive line, this roster with what Taggart likes to do, with his philosophy, with that overall approach, could be really, really good even in year one. Could be outstanding in year one. Now they're going to have to figure out what to do at quarterback. And part of that is going to be holding DeAndre Francois accountable, or having him buy. He's going to have to buy into the program and be held accountable. But once again, I think this is as close to a home run hire for Florida State as they could have gotten, given realistically who you can actually go after in college football to get to move from one program to another. I preferred him over a large number of other coaches. And again, I had him lower on my list initially, but as I learned more about the staff he was bringing and all that, I think I was wrong by having him that low. I think this is very good news for Florida State fans. And one other thing, once again, I do also want to thank the two other things, I guess. One, first of all, I want to thank the sponsor of this program, Luis Marquez from Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. Once again, if you have any real estate needs in the greater Jacksonville area, let Lewis know, and let him know that you're get in touch with Lewis. His information is in the show notes, and definitely let him know that you heard about him from this podcast. Definitely helped me out a lot. Second thing though is, and this is important, I also, knowing what I knew about the negotiation situation with Willie Taggart and where things were, I had a designer put together, a Florida State graduate, by the way, a graduate of Florida State's very good art program and design, a design master's at Florida State. So support your fellow Seminoles. But I had a designer put together some merchandise celebrating Willie Taggart's hiring as the Florida State head coach. I'm going to link that material in this podcast. We're still working on getting the shop front done and getting all this ready to go, but be ready to order some of these things. We're going to have a couple t-shirts and things like that ready to go in honor of Willie Taggart's hiring. So a lot to be excited about. Visit the unconqueredpodcast.com website. So that's unconqueredpodcast.com. Visit that website to get some of that Willie Taggart gear. Also, again, support the podcast and the designer on that. Well, this has gone a little longer than I'd expected for such a spur of the moment podcast, but I'm gonna deal with a lot of other stuff, including what went down in the negotiations. For what it's worth, while I record this, just on a few last details on that. They did come in at Florida State did start a little bit low on the bidding at $4.1 million for the first year, going incrementally increasing to just over $5 million for the final year of the contract. And that was something that that did not go over well. It was not a good start to the negotiation process, but eventually all of that got worked out. I expect this contract to be around $5 million a year for five years. Then they were working through a lot of things in terms of buyout and all that stuff in the evening last night. And it wasn't until about 11:30 or so last night that I was told that basically they had a done deal in terms of having addressed all of the things that that would have been sticking points. They still needed to do a couple lawyerly things, which ended up happening earlier this morning. And then they finished that just around, like I said, around 11:15, 11:30 is when I found out that this was basically going to happen today. And like I said, Taggart will address his team around 1:30 p.m. And that's when this podcast will release. So once again, thanks to Luis Marquez for the sponsorship. Check out the merchandise as soon as it posts. So check back. I'll have a reminder in the next podcast episode as well. And also a lot to be excited about. So I will have another podcast up here in due time over the next couple days, evaluating more on the recruiting front and some stuff in terms of hires and all that. But once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
I made this.